Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to an Irreverent Media podcast. Go to irreverent.fm for more content from our friends.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Kevin. And
we're
your favorite ants. We finally nailed it.
We did it. Okay, we're two best friends who have a lot in common and a lot on our mind.
And each week we're going to tell you what is on said minds, pop culture, Christian subculture, everything in between. And also we answer some questions from listeners, people like you.
And like your favorite ants, we've got lots of opinions and a few drinks in us.
Because it's more fun that way, right? So let's get into it. This is a new episode of Your Favorite Ants.
Hi.
Oh my God. Hello.
How are you?
I feel so good, Sarah Heath. How do you feel?
I feel really good. I have been creating this morning, which always makes me be in such a good mood.
What have you created?
I am in the process of building a 25-foot by 25-foot labyrinth.
Wow.
So it's a lot of
math. What are you building it out of?
So we're using this like really thick canvas and painting.
Cool.
So, anyway, I'm Sarah, and this is.
That's not. No, we have to introduce ourselves
okay,
the proper
sorry,
way.
Proper.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Your Favorite Ants, the most well-informed show on the internet. I am Joe Di Messina.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Joe Di Messina, then clearly I'm Faith Hill.
Listen, right? I think so. Right. I can feel the magic floating in the air. Also, I have been leaning into singing in my baritone range, kind of like a la Orville Peck.
Ooh.
You know how Orville Peck is always like singing down? He's basically singing like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Long black train.
Ugh.
You know?
Now
and
I know
so I was thinking, so the other night when I went out and sang karaoke with my friends, I sang Taylor Swift's Tim McGraw, and I sang it down the octave for the first part of it. And I was like, when you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me. Like all the way down the way blue
low.
Something about this Georgia some do da ba do down there. I should know the words, but I don't. Anyways, hi, welcome to everyone who's here live with us. And also thank you for coming back. Those of you who are going to be listening to this next Moondi. You're always welcome to join us Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern time or live. Either way, go ahead and like go ahead and share, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're listening. If you are watching this live, go send this to somebody who should be hanging out in here. Let's grow the family a little bit. Granted, we've been gone for 2 weeks because, bish, we've been working and we're tired and it's not that serious. It's just a podcast.
This is our fun one. So why don't you share a little bit about where you were, and I'll share a little bit about where I've been.
Yes. Okay. So also, please feel free to chat along with us and talk along with us as we're going along.
You been for 2 weeks, friends?
Yeah, where y'all been? What the fuck have y'all been up to?
Where have you guys been?
Yeah, we showed up. Okay, we've been here like literally the entire time. Where have you been? It's not true. I went to Charleston last weekend with my friend Derek. He invited a bunch of us out. Derek of your favorite Heretics, Derek Myers.
We should do
We are definitely going to do a crossover show. We just hung out. He just invited a bunch of his dude friends out there. And like, you know, sometimes I'm a dude, so I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll try my hand at this.
That you called it your men's retreat.
My men's retreat. That's exactly what it was. Well, we've decided to start calling it I'm starting to call
Promise
it a mostly men's retreat.
A mostly men's retreat.
Yeah. It's like anyone's welcome to come, but it's like a mostly men's retreat. Like, please come, no matter what kind of expression that falls for you, even if it's like you are just like a non-binary princess with like a hairy chest and a mustache and a vagina.
I mean, you do it.
That's what I want. That's me. I just describe myself.
I love it.
Yeah. It was wonderful. I made a lot of good friends. And I'm really glad to connect with other people who are doing similar work to me, because it definitely makes me feel less alone in the whole resistance to the empire while we're also trying to feed the, having to feed the monster to pay our bills. You know what I'm saying? You get it?
You know what's interesting?
What?
I didn't think about this. You have been so inspired and like forward acting since going to this thing. So maybe there's something to be said about going to your mostly men's retreat.
Yeah. I feel like I had a really good time. You know, we did things that I can't talk about on the internet because, I mean, nothing sexual, nothing weird.
No,
you know, just, it was mostly smoking weed. Okay. That's mostly what we were doing. But I'm not going to say who did and who didn't. So I'll let your imaginations.
I'm not a narc.
Thank you so much for not shaming me. That's where I have been this week. My anxiety has been a little bit high, but today I'm ending on a really positive note because I had two people officially sign on for the spring 2022 cohort. So now there's only 20 spots left and I'm just really fucking excited.
I'm excited for you. One weekend was in Carmel at a bachelorette party. So two of my good friends had bachelorette parties. They married each other on the same weekend. And I found out they argued over which one I was going to go to. Didn't really argue, but they were like, okay, which one? Because Sarah is both of our bridesmaids as well as an officiant. So.
No. Oh, why did they give you so many jobs at a wedding?
They actually just put them all together. It was lovely. They were so good.
Oh, nice.
Wait,
what do you mean you put it together? What does that mean? You just had to do one thing and you had all the titles?
Yeah, all the titles were one thing. Like it was
all the titles, one job. Okay, I love that.
Yeah. I was officiating a wedding, but I was also a bridesmaid. So that meant I got to go to all the parties and I got to go to all the events.
No, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, it was so fun. And I wore an outfit that matched all the bridesmaids.
You looked fine. Like you were real, real good.
Thank you. So I got to go to Carmel and go wine tasting. And the other bride totally had a surfing, rock climbing, camping party, which if you know me, you know that I am also outdoorsy Barbie. But I did, you know, the Posh Spice versus the What's the other Sporty Spice? I was Posh Spice and not Sporty Spice, but I had so much fun. And then their wedding was like a 4-day event. People flew in from all over the world, which was super fun. We were all vaxxed. We were all, and it just felt really safe and really good. And
yeah, same thing with my little weekend. Everybody was vaxxed and everybody got tested within 24 hours of arriving. I said, that's so fast.
You did. I actually thought my computer had sped up for a second.
No, so anyway, I just spoke really quickly. Amazing.
Yeah. So we were both gone for 2 weekends in a row. And I will say I missed this space, guys. I missed
being around and drinking a beer. What are you drinking today? What's on?
So I am in the midst of eating clean for 21 days. And so I am not technically drinking. However,
let's pot. No. Don't try to convince me of anything.
I'm not done. I am actually drinking right now. So I have a LaCroix and then I put vodka in it. So I am drinking.
See, listen, you could have just answered that. You could have just said that and you got saved yourself the grief.
I know. I'm having like a small allotment of vodka, just a tiny little bit. But I haven't
been drinking. Have a lot of, I don't care. That's on you. You do what you want.
Yeah.
No one's coming to say, is it clean vodka? No one cares.
Okay, team, we wanted to know what you've been up to for the last 2 weeks. Richard has been busy preaching. First couple of sermons over the last 2 weeks. We've been doing an evening series on desire and identity.
Ooh. Ew. I like that.
I'm glad it's an evening service. That sounds fun.
That's what I'm into, personally.
Mm-hmm. Personally.
Yeah. Nope. I didn't. I'm trying to hide that. Go away.
You're doing great.
There we go.
We just got to get back into it.
Yeah.
So this is a show where we essentially admit we're honest about the truth, which is that we've been your internet aunts for a while. And so then we just launched this show to become your internet aunts. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and I both, so at the wedding and then also at the bachelorette party, I discovered people actually listen to us.
No. Same thing at my men's retreat. Everyone was just like, I just gotta tell you, like, your favorite aunt is such a good show. And I'm like,
sometimes I forget that we're recording because I just love chatting with you about the things that matter and chatting with our friends on the side here that I don't get.
I'm just like,
Rob, Richard, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. So just saying, cool, fun time. We're enjoying it. So thanks for having us.
And we're back, guys. I don't think we're going to miss another one for a while.
Couldn't tell you. Maybe we will. And if we do, sorry. You'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Ooh,
anyways.
Someone said they've been busy. Shane here says, been busy getting more in touch with my inner child.
Yes. And also, that does make sense.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, every single morning I cry to my inner child. Just kidding. Not every morning. So let us go ahead and dive into some
spicy things. If we're going to start with what we call
some courant. Courant.
Yeah. Because we kind of just covered how the hell we are.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I feel good about that. I feel taken care of.
Oh, good. Yeah. Friends, if you want to be thinking about me, I've got some medical tests I'm still weeding through. And so that's also been where I've been. I've been lots of doctor's appointments. So please, friends, so far so good. My dad actually looked at my labs and he said, well, those are delightfully normal. So that's exciting.
I love normal. It's my favorite thing.
Let's hop in. So I just had to put that in for how the hell am I? Because I tend to gloss over those things. The other thing, we'll talk about it at the end of the show, but my newest podcast released, RevCovery. We've been talking about it for a while.
Let's talk about it right now. Why not?
Sure. So my latest podcast is called RevCovery with Justin Gentry.
It's so good.
Thank you, my friend. And it has been very much one of the most vulnerable things I've ever done in my life. It's as vulnerable as my first podcast, which was called Sonderless the Podcast. So this podcast really talks a lot about what does it mean to be in RevCovery, which is after you leave ministry. It has gotten more comments. I am telling you, so many direct messages, so many comments, but it's very scary for me because it's very much a personal project. So hoping to help people kind of as they transition within ministry, as the world is shifting, how do we look at ministry different? And like, for instance, my episode came out this week where I shared my story. And I will admit to you, I have been exhausted every night. And then my friend said, yeah, because you've been like doing the labor of sharing your story with people again and again and again. And there is some trauma wrapped up around it. So Friends, I would love for you to check it out. It is, even if you have never been in ministry, it might be an open door to what that's like. Or if you're transitioning job, if you're part of the giant, what is it called? The Great Resignation?
The Great Resignation.
You might want to check it out.
I think that's that.
And now we're
going to look at your numbers real quick.
Oh,
yeah. They're good.
Yeah, you can look at my numbers.
Yeah. They're good. Oh, especially for fresh out the gate. Like, those are really promising numbers.
We just started advertising, which is fun.
Ooh, bitch.
We need to start advertising this, by the way. That's a side project for you and I. We need to do a 30-second welcome to your favorite aunts.
Hey, whores, welcome. That's... yeah, I just want to echo that echo. It's a really good show.
Thank you.
I think you hit on some really just delicious and upfront topics of just like... As you were saying it, I was just like, this is what so many people need to hear right now. And this is also something I am kind of just recognizing more and more for people in our community, quote unquote, our community, because we're still finding out what that means. Well, let me just say that there are people who are post church right now who are leaving ministry, who are leaving the faith of their family and don't really know what to do or where to go or who to talk to, that are in need of space right now. And it gets me really excited to be a part of helping create those kinds of spaces, both like online and in person, because I've got some, I'm currently planning a possible day and a half event thing here in Atlanta. So
we're working around it, guys. We're trying to not just make a new train on the same track. You know, we want to figure out how did we get here and then how can we adjust our sales? What does it mean? There's so much.
I don't want to go on any trains on any track. I am in the wilderness. I'm building a cabin. Y'all can do what you can do what you want.
I'm not going to give, because it's not my story necessarily to tell, but I was sharing with my other co-host, Justin Gentry, about a dream that Kevin had, which is a super positive dream about all this work that we're doing. And it just felt like an encouragement to you. So I was sharing it with Justin just to encourage us in our work. And then Justin all of a sudden like gets really quiet. If you guys know Justin, this is not a woo-woo person. Justin is like a CrossFitter, like cerebral.
He's a CrossFitter nearly as atheist as you can get.
Cerebral, like just that guy. And all of a sudden I could tell, I was like, what's going on? And then Justin says, Sarah, I had a dream about Kevin like 4 or 5 years ago. And it was during a time when I was writing down all my dreams. I won't give all the details of the dream, but they didn't know each other. Kevin did not know each other, did not know Justin. Justin never had any plans to know Kevin. Then not only that, but everything that Kevin and Justin talked about culminated in Kevin encouraging Justin to do the work of helping pastors that are leaving ministry. Never was that in Justin's mind. Justin wasn't interested in that work. Kevin,
this is all new.
I know. And then, so I like ring in, this is just, you guys just need to know this human, because I'm like, I need to add Kevin to this conversation. Kevin's going to be blown away. Incorrect. I add Kevin to this conversation, and Kevin's response is, yeah. Well, obviously, like I was just meditating at that time when you were dreaming or whatever it was. And like,
I said, I could have been there with you. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I was astral projecting at the time. It's possible. Maybe I was asleep and I met you
there. That is not my world, friends. I am 0%. Well, I'm not 0% because you have really opened me up to a lot of this. But I will say.
Listen, you don't need to believe in anything. It just works. That's what I say. It's like, I don't need to believe in astrology. It just works.
Yeah, I just need to process that all of that happened. Because again, like I said, it wasn't someone trying to like share something to be like, oh my gosh, we're meant to do this, Sarah. It was like shocked as I am. And then we pull Kevin in and Kevin's response is obviously.
I mean, I'm not really, I'm just not surprised anymore by anything. I've had such weird spiritual experiences my entire life, and then like they've just continued to get more delicious into adulthood, and now that I understand how like nothing is impossible, it's like, oh yeah, well, sure,
all things are possible. I really have got to stop singing all the like VBS songs.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I do.
I know I'm not there yet. Dana, I just want to pull in Dana here, who says, love Revcovery, which is how I found this podcast.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Thanks, Dana. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to tell you to shut the fuck up. I don't know you like that. I'm glad you're here. I don't really want
you're one of us now.
Actually, you don't stop talking. That's what I mean to say. Don't ever stop talking.
We're so glad you're here, and we would love to hold space for you, and it's been great getting to know you a little bit. Em, thank you so much for saying that you love the new podcast. Enough about cross-marketing, because we've got some stuff to talk about, because they kind of go along this podcast lane.
We get to talk about whatever we want. We're the boss of ourselves.
It's true. But let's start with talking about our pop culture and headline news, which we like. Sometimes we call it airing our grievances.
Pop
sometimes.
Culture and headline. Well, it's like headline news.
Did you hear?
Yeah. Did you hear about this? and every now and again, we like to bring in a topic of current events.
Yes.
Current events. And I have the video like queued up over here.
Let's see.
So I'm going to share the screen real quick. So let's.
We're learning our technology, guys.
Yes. And I'm not sure if it'll send sound through this. I wonder if it will.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll find out. We will find out.
You guys are going to be here for this.
Okay. Where is the actual.
Why do I have to whisper? I saw this meme that was like, one day you're young and the next day you're turning down the sound on your radio so you can see better when you're driving.
That's me. That's me every day. Window.
I hope the people who are listening to the podcast right now know that it's just as exciting for those who are like watching this live.
Yeah. Okay. So here is the video. We're going to zoom in a little bit. Can I zoom in? I'm just going to hit play.
John Cooper Skillet.
Tell me if you can hear this. Do you hear that?
No.
Okay, hold on. It's not even playing. Hold on. Let's just open it up.
Ooh.
Open up to the heart of the ocean. And then I do this. And then I do this.
Yeah, we can hear him. Oh, no, we can't. We cannot hear him.
Start it over. Start it over.
Here we go.
I got it. Well, this is embarrassing. This is not an ad for Relevant. First of all, why does Andrew Garfield, like, why is, I fucking hate Relevant. Y'all are stupid. If you're watching this, stop.
I don't mind Relevant. I wrote for them for, I do mind. I have some thoughts about Relevant.
I have beef with Relevant because to this day, they will not just do the fucking right thing.
No. Yeah. They try to walk a line that shouldn't be walked.
There's no, like, it is literally the epitome of, I'm about to spit you out of my fucking mouth because you're not hot, you're not cold, you're good for what? No thing.
Our really good friend, Andre Henry, worked for them for a while. And that was, I started supporting them then, but.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
We declare war against this deconstruction Christian movement.
Gets worse.
And I'll tell you what, I don't even like calling it deconstruction Christian because there is nothing Christian about it. It is a false religion. It is a whole
Also, real quick, there's a trigger warning about depression and suicidal ideation in about 5 seconds. So jump off the line if you need to.
But we're here.
This authentic self is really that wonderful for you and your sexual revolution. Then what I want to know is this. Why are you so sad? Why are you killing yourselves at the highest rates in American history?
What? Who? Wait, whoa, wait, I can't hear you. Wait, whoa, wait, what? I have so many feelings. I haven't, okay, we talked about him.
We did. He was.
And then he did he hear us?
I mean, this is the, oh, I should also put you back in my ears. I don't know. I hope he heard us. Like, if he did, like, hey, he's kind of my type. I hate that.
I feel like we kind of made fun of him, though.
I mean,
not made fun of. We just were like, I don't know why he thinks that his voice in politics matters. I think that was our conversation.
Yeah.
And now he's declaring war on deconstruction. Do you guys remember when we declared war on drugs?
Hello.
Hello.
Like.
M just said, we need to pull up M.
Which one?
Sorry, M. M's oh no. Like, it wasn't embarrassing enough that my partner and I first met back in 2002 when he was working as security in college for a skillet
your
show.
Sins.
The Lord can use that which.
Period. That you know, which you am.
That which the world can use that which. Oh, dear. Oh, our sexual revolution. So, is that what this is about?
It's one of those things where I'm just like, this person's like talking as someone who is completely unhinged. And completely,
he seems really
and I don't even say that lightly. And I just look at that. I'm like, you are very upset, aren't you? Huh? It's fascinating to me. I'm just like, declare war, like on what? And it's also interesting. It's like, you'll go over there and it's been pointed out by a couple different content creators, but it's like, you'll go over here. And you'll fight for like Joe Rogan because he's supposed to have like, you know, free speech. Everyone should have the right to say what they want to say, no matter if someone doesn't like it, because this is America. So we're over here exercising our right to free speech, saying what we want to on the internet, like every other asshole. And you like,
that's our next t-shirt. Say whatever we want on the internet. Like,
yeah, that's all we're really doing.
Your favorite.
That's all we're doing. And it's just, it's funny to me. Like, you are so fucking pressed. You're so upset. And then I think it's funny. The sexual revolution part, I'm just like, now you're just stringing buzzwords together at this point. But like, you want to.
Also, but that's like a buzzword from the 60s. I don't understand how we're still using that as a buzzword. That's not a buzzword. That's like a buzz cut word. Like, it's a long time ago.
Like, I just want to know. I'm like, why? He said, just like, why are you so sad? I'm just like, have you looked outside? Have you been awake? Like, do you want to know why I'm so sad? It's because I have so much debt. I am sad because I haven't got laid in a while. I am sad because sometimes I take my meds and my anxiety still takes me out. That's why. What do you think? There's a million reasons to be sad right now. Like, everybody's sad.
It felt to me a little bit, I think the part that bothers me is that to me, it felt a bit like a rally, didn't it? It felt like a little bit like all these people.
It's this big evangelical Christian music tour that goes around.
Oh, we talked about
winter
it before.
Winter Jam.
Ooh, I better find out if my friend is the one who promotes that.
Whoever they are.
I just think your.
Are you saying specifically me or the royal one?
No, him. What is his name? John Cooper?
Sure.
Honey, like, I get it. You want to be relevant. I get it. I understand. Like, culture has told you have to matter. I get it. But also, there are babies in that audience who have thought about taking their lives. There are babies in that audience who have lost friends, family. And here you are spitting vile shit because you are a privileged white man who has never had to face reality. You were put on a pedestal. And now what's upsetting you is that your pedestal might be taken away because no one knows if you're relevant or not anymore. Because guess what? More people are following people that have things to say about this than are following you. I'm sorry that your fragile ego got hurt, but you need to stop starting a cult around ego and personality.
We stand. Yes. Okay. Listen, case closed.
Listen.
That's it. It's just like, dude, like, that was my big beef.
I know you're hurting.
I really get that. I'm just like, no one who isn't hurting, like, that's just like where I just know he's hurting and he's being a dick. It's, I'm like, that's what was so surprising to me. It's just like, they're like, okay, so why are you, like, you're citing all these things. People have anxiety more than any time in history. People are on medication. People are killing themselves. And your response is to make fun of them or yell at them for trying to figure out how to stay alive?
It's the lack.
Lack of compassion. I mean, like, Jesus Christ, motherfucker. Like, you, by your own standards, like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, like, does that not inspire any sort of anything in you? My God, like, I wouldn't dare to stand on a stage and tell people to repent of anything.
Well, it's also this idea that Jesus looks a certain way. Mm. And it's so different than even the scripture with which they use to be the platform that they stand. And I think it's...
You sit on a throne of lies.
I have tattoos. Right. I have tattoos, to quote Elf. I have tattoos and I have a beard and I have, and so
it's like, listen, you're,
I'm edgy.
And all, like, there are like churches that wouldn't even let you in the door because you have a beard and tattoos. Like even you have had to deconstruct a little bit to get to the point where you're okay with having tattoos. Apparently that doesn't conflict with your whatever. And I'm like, right. Do you not see, like, why in the, I just want to ask, like, why is this okay? It's okay to deconstruct tattoos,
right,
and drink in and maybe even cuss in a little bit. But like, homosexuality is where I draw the line. Saying that maybe Jesus, you know, or saying anything other than what y'all think, like, Jesus.
You know what? I'll say this. When I was a little girl and this little boy was picking on me and I went home and my mom said, Sarah, boys who bug you love
no.
you. Wait a minute. So, and I said, what do you mean, mom? She said, just say that to them. So whenever, or she, when we got older, she'd say, methinks thou dost protest too much. Meaning people who are making a big fuss about something care about that thing a lot. I think this is a very frightening time for people like John Cooper, because I think he's starting to doubt. He's starting to fear that everything he invested in is not okay. And so the only way to hold on to it is to hold it tight and just yell. Unfortunately, they have a platform on which to yell.
I mean, and that's like, you can look at that with like any sort of person who's losing their grip on their religious stuff. Like, you hold on to, you just hold on. Because like, you don't know what else to do. And it's so scary for people. It's so frightening because here you are.
We have the, yeah, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just like, here you are like, and you badmouth your own questioning. You condemn yourself for the questions you have because, oh, me of little faith. And it's like, girl, like, it's okay. It really is.
I think what, I just, first of all, we have the best viewers. The things that are coming up in the chat, like, just pull up Shane's, in a religion of power, privilege is a sacrament.
Oh! Someone better quote you in their book. I want to use that.
It's so good, Shane.
Shane said one time, just dropped it on a podcast. Oof.
Oh, so good. There is M's comment. We're seeing a scared inner child doubling down and throwing a tantrum. And then also Dana saying, and that kind of attitude is why so many of us pulled the damn covers over our heads instead of stepping forward with our own questions.
Because there's somebody up there who's literally trying to declare war on us. And like, and here's right, my attitude about it is like, you know, it's like when Whitney Houston was asked what she thinks about Mariah Carey, what did she say? What do I think
still
about
my
her?
Quote. She said,
I don't think. That's what people, what do you think about John Cooper saying all this shit? Like, I don't think about John Cooper saying anything. Do you know why? Because he's not relevant to me.
Well, I don't, as far as what it does for me, right? Because you and I are in a place, and it is, we have to admit that you and I are in a lucky place of privilege where we've worked through our shit. But there are, and Dana's right, there are people who are standing there who are in a very painful place. And they're hearing someone that they have paid a ticket to hear. Who, by the way, just because you sing music does not make you the person who should be leading these people. But that's a whole nother.
We can just look, just because you're on TV doesn't make you good. Look at Bill Cosby.
Right. Just because you have a podcast doesn't make you
look
cute.
At Joe Rogan.
That's not true. That's
No, we are cute. We're not cute because we have a podcast. We have a podcast because we're cute. It's different.
I just think there is even Joe Rogan stuff. This all ties together, guys. And I am not trying to say that if you fit into a certain category, I am saying there is a massive need for empathy and awareness of people who have an experience outside of your own. And when you begin to have a platform to think that that then means that you need to shame and blame people outside of your own experience, that's when we get people like Joe Rogan, who is walking around having to do a giant apology.
Yeah. Tour. And like the thing is, like, he only apologized for saying the N-word, hasn't apologized for his anti-trans stuff, hasn't apologized for his anti-queer stuff, hasn't apologized for his misogynist stuff. And also, let's point out the fact that just because those podcast episodes have gotten pulled, Spotify's already been paid by those advertisers. Joe Rogan's already been paid for those episodes. It's not actually doing in that's not actual accountability.
I would love us to pick up, and I want to make sure I'm saying this name right, Karasu, the dreamer. He said there's no freedom outside of Jesus. I've heard that growing up, and it kept me from discovering myself. Can we just for a minute go into that? When there is a statement like that, what is being said is not only is there no freedom outside of Jesus, but I am the one through which you should understand this Jesus. So if you are going to want to pursue Jesus, then there's no freedom outside of the thing that I'm giving you. And when people are in a desperate or difficult place, they're looking for someone like John to yell at them for a little while, but that only lasts so long because shame is not the way to become whole.
My pastor.
And right. and freedom doesn't look like staying within a certain lane. We need to help people know themselves in a way that allows me to say, I am me and you are you. And yet we're all part of this thing. I don't think, like, if I think John Cooper and I got in the same room, first of all, I'd scare the shit out of him just because of probably the work that I've done around this stuff. And he's trying so desperately, like you said, to be relevant. And yes, we just spent a lot of time talking about him, but it's more about the construct that he unfortunately embodies. Because if I'm honest, I agree with whoever said he looks like a scared child.
Yeah.
That looks like a kid to me.
Yeah, it's...
Who wants to matter so much? Like, do I matter? That's what he's screaming to me.
Yes, I do.
Deconstruction stuff matters. I just spent 20 years writing songs about this Jesus who's supposed to love me so much. But what if everyone doesn't need Jesus to love them? That then do all these songs matter?
I mean,
so,
and it's okay. I mean, like, John, there's this really great podcast I heard called Red Recovery. It's to help you after you leave ministry or have to, like,
we can also help CCM people come out.
My God. That's the thing you act. Ooh, that's a series, Sarah.
We do have some artists.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to be your number one stan. I swear to God.
I'm already your number one stan. So this works great. Yeah. I am okay with when the bar moves. So, like, people taking down previous content, I get that, like, we didn't all have, like, agreed upon thing. But the moment that we recognize that, man, this is hurting people is the moment that we start to, like, adjust and change.
He wouldn't have changed had it not threatened his pockets. And the thing, it's not even that they could have done. That's the thing. They could have done nothing, and they would have also still been fine.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard because you and I, we profit off of Spotify. We had this whole conversation as a Reverent Media Group. Do we take all our content down? The reality is our content isn't big enough to make a shift. We could talk about it on all of our shows, but the truth is like, if we exit the space, then there's no one with an opposing voice on that space. So what do we do then? Right. Which is also my fear about guys. I don't know. You really
keep going. Keep going.
You're staying for the survey. One of my, fears is that so many of us who represent more of a progressive understanding of Christianity are no longer going to be pastors. And this is not my fear to hold on to. And this is the thing I have to let go as I do my work, is I'm afraid now the space is going to look only conservative and people who are still working their own shit out.
We can't.
And then
the thing about it is that person that you were wanting to help is not coming to your church. They don't know you exist.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that as like a knock, but just like, that's the reality. When you are in that world, you're so, like, think about it. Like, I mean, I'll say it for myself, you're siloed and everything outside of that is evil. And like, and so it is not until you're inside your bubble and you look outside and you're like, what's going on out there? And then you go look at it. It's never like, it was never a progressive sermon in a church that was conservative. Right. Like, it was because I saw something on the internet. It's because someone invited me. It's because I saw other people living authentically as progressive queer Christians that showed me it was possible. It was never inside of a conservative church. So like, when I think about just like, oh, we got to stay for the people, I'm just like, are people, like, the people who are in progressive churches have that. People in conservative churches were not coming to our churches anyways. So all we can do is continue to create the spaces and, for example, sing the new song as loud as we can in the wilderness so that people know that there's a party out here.
And that's scary. When your paycheck has come from being part of the majority. And so you always have to question, follow the money, you know? And I'm not saying that's his only reason. I am saying we have set up a society where he only matters for as many tickets as he can sell. And if there's something that's helping people not sell tickets, it's scary. Why are people sad? Hello? Like, if you're so sad, everyone, literally, I mean, like, science
did
is
you,
showing
did you, everyone did you live through 2020 right or 2021? Because everybody knows somebody who died. Multiple people died. There's a lot of people who are sad. Holy shit. Like, are you kidding me? You're not aching with the rest of the world. You must not be paying attention. That's so weird. You're so weird, dude.
Yeah. But also, whenever you're ready to come around, we will hug you and embrace you.
No. He's not.
I know.
He's not coming to my camp. He is not coming on my camp. And here's another thing, too. I have a couple of my content friends out here whom I love. They're just like, John, I want to get you. I want to engage in a dialogue and conversation. Stop trying to reason with unreasonable people. Because at the end of the day, like, don't do it on a podcast. Don't do it on air if you're going to do that. Because if he gets on air, it's a performance. Maybe record it for posterity and you just sign an NDA that you're not going to release it to anybody. But just so you can know what each other said. But like, he's also not going to do that because, you know why? If he actually engages with the enemy and recognizes, oh my God, I'm supposed to be praying for you. Oh, my brother, my sister, my sibling. Like, that's the thing. You can't look God in the face and remain unchanged, bitch.
Now that is a shirt. Pearls before swine.
Listen, you know, what is the Gospel of Thomas expands on that. It says like, it's, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, I've got it. I mean, I'm not going to look it up, but yes, I've got the Gospel of Thomas over.
Oh, of course I do. Why wouldn't I? Where are you?
Trauma activation, guys. We're going into the Apocrypha.
No, this was even not out of the Apocrypha. This was in the Nag Hammadi Codex.
Oh, okay.
Gospel of Thomas, where are you living? Do you know where I am? I don't know. I'll find it later. I'm halfway down on my pint of strawberry rhubarb. It is so effing delicious. I got it in Charleston.
What is it? Is it a beer? It's a sour. Oh, I love strawberry rhubarb. My mom used to make pies.
Strawberry rhubarb. Oh, okay.
17.
So,
hot July.
We are now. I'm done talking about that. There's nothing else.
We are. We're closing the book on it.
And so, 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a deconstruction war on you, John. And you know, my first act is going to say, "No, I don't want to talk to you. You can keep yelling. You can keep doing all the. I don't need you to change for me to be happy. Okay."
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're sad.
My sweet baby. It's just like you want to come on the Promise Breakers men's retreat? As long as you promise to be cool, be chill, bro.
But also you can break that promise because that's the whole point of Promise Breakers.
Promise Breakers gonna be a mostly men's retreat.
Okay, do we have any questions that we needed to? I know we had some backup questions. We probably got time for about one. Oh, our nails are the same color.
No, they're not. What's yours? Yours is like a red.
Dark red. Is yours black?
Just black. Just black. Let me look at my Instagram. Let's see if we got any cues in the story.
While we're on that, friends, please continue to send us questions. We really, as much as we like to go on and on, we also, as your aunts, we just love giving kind of decent advice, question and opinion, really.
Okay.
And you can go to askyourfavoriteaunts@gmail.com and ask us any questions.
So this one is from Instagram. It's from somebody, because we remember Synonymous. They said, when you began your reconstruction journey, how did you find your community of support? First things first, I don't believe in reconstruction.
Yeah.
Because what does that mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, we want to reconstruct into what?
So for me, deconstruction is different than demolition.
Yeah. And also deconstruction is different than evolution.
Right. So there are things that I kept. So when I say reconstruction makes it sound as if I was using that terminology for a while because I did. There are things that I kept and I'm integrating. So transcending and including into the whatever I'm moving toward. But I think the difference is with reconstruction, it sounds like you're trying to build the same thing. Or something. Again.
You're trying to build
It's
almost like, okay, I deconstructed the false idol and now I'm going to build the correct idol again with just better ideas and better theology and a more inclusive.
You're going to love this one.
This one's got to work until it doesn't.
You know, I would say finding community is something that people ask us all the time. The recovery answer, because people want to be with people. Mm-hmm. They do. And we're meant to. Not everyone has to share the same ideals or beliefs or whatever it might be, but we want to be with people who at least we feel like we can be safe in our doubting or our questioning or whatever it might be. So how I found people is I started being honest with myself and others, because then I knew that when I was encountering people, there are people that are capable of hearing my honesty. And sometimes it's hard, right? Because we'll discover that people we thought were with us are not. And we don't need people to be where we are. But I think just getting really honest with ourselves and others allows people to love us for who we actually are versus the image.
Something that is really, I'm about to just lay down some truth. You can take it or leave it. This was like the harsh truth that it was given to me was like, oh, I'm afraid that if they know who I truly am, they're not going to love me. And someone says like, well, Kevin, they've never fully loved you because they've never fully known you. They don't know. Yeah, they do not know you. You have been hiding and you had to survive. But just recognize that like, yeah, if they don't love who you truly are, it's because they've never known you. And that's very sad. And that's just, for me, it's just like, oh, I have to, that makes sense. And also, the coping question was always just like, let me put it this way. As I was beginning to be more vocal about the way my lifestyle was changing, if you will, I first found people who I knew would be good, close, easy friends, easy allies, people to support me, whom I don't have to explain things to.
Where did you find them?
Started on Twitter.
Twitter.
We used to have this old hashtag. We don't use it as much, called Faithfully LGBT. And that's where a lot of us queer Christians started to find one another. And that's kind of like how it started. It started off as just like bloggers becoming friends. And then I started meeting people in Atlanta and becoming real friends with people. So it's oh, my dog is yelling at something. It's fine. But that's where it started for me. It was actually online community. And it's something I'm really, really excited about, like, which I'm sure like you've got some great things to share pretty soon too, but I've got some things for announcements, but like that really is like the number one thing people say is like, I don't have anybody. Like, I don't know who to talk to about this. And I'm just like, okay, here is a place that you can do it.
Yeah.
And I tell you,
I think it's.
Yeah. And so like all that to say is that there's no wrong way to do it. You just gotta, sometimes it's going to throw it against the wall, see what sticks at first. And I would also say like, figure out what already feels naturally good to you. Like what, like,
yeah, be grace-filled with yourself as you're trying to share whatever your story might be, because different communities have a different level of being okay with you. Like, you don't want to come out to a John Cooper and being in someone who's questioning your beliefs, right? Like, that's not a safe place for you. And so it's sort of, I would say, testing the waters a bit and seeing like who's, and you might be surprised as you test the waters a bit. People might show up and be like, oh, you too? Like, people are often very surprised about where other people are. And so I think test the waters a bit. I am one who I absolutely believe in the online community, but I really love when those online communities are able to gather. I would say it's okay to have people outside of your belief structure. I think that's actually really
better.
Important.
Even better if they're empathetic and listen. Like, they may not understand, but they listen. Oh, let me tell you what, that's gold, because you will say things that,
because you have to remember that you used to believe differently than you do now, right? And so giving space for other people to think differently than you. We're definitely working on creating community for people. And myself and my co-host, Justin Gentry, for people who are exiting ministry, we actually are like, we've spent many hours in meetings this week trying to figure out what's the best thing for us, whether that's Discord, many networks, there's all kinds of options. And so give us a couple weeks working on it for that community.
Listen, and I'm
anonymously leaving ministry.
Anonymously loving ministry.
Anonymously
momming ministry.
Anonymously. Yes.
I'm not slurring my words.
Crowded Table, which is Kevin's space. People have said that's their favorite community.
For real, like, I am so surprised, like, at the shape it's taking, and I'm excited. We're going to be moving over. This is like the unofficial soft announcement. We're moving from Patreon to a new thing called Mighty Networks, so that we can better serve the community. It's more cost effective overall for like the way that I do business. Still has all the same benefits, but everything and more, and it's just going to be an easier way for everybody to interact, so that like that way we're not having to be like inundated by other ads, or it's just going to be much more simple. It's going to be very delicious. I also, this is the soft announcement. This is unofficial, off the record. I don't have a confirmation.
Don't tell anyone.
I am putting together a crowded table, like, one day event, April 7 in Atlanta. It's going to be like super fucking cheap, like 77 to 90.
That's a Wednesday? No,
it's a Saturday.
Why do I know that?
I think. Hold on. Uh-huh. Let me look.
April 5th is a Tuesday.
Oh, then I mean April 2nd.
Because the final four.
I mean
four.
April 2nd.
Which will be in the middle of the final four, which I know because I am a straight.
Yes, I love that for you. And for those of you who are straight and like want to do it, you are happy to stream it on your phone while you're there. Find a bar and some other sports people and you can go watch it together. There are plenty of gay bars downtown who are going to show the game. So, but I am very excited about that. I just think it's going to be really cool. So if you're in the Atlanta area or surrounding, or you want to come in, so it's going to be like under $100 for a ticket, like sliding scale, of course. And I think it's going to be very fun. Like, I'm still planning some content overall, but just like come hang out. And then, you know, if you want to coordinate with other people in the crowded table about doing housing together, riding together, you know, this is what we're going to do. You don't have to be a part of the crowded table to come, but I don't know. You're just missing out. So that's my little announcement.
I think the more and more you show up as yourself, the more and more those people, like tonight, I'm going to go hang out with Scott Erickson, who's a mutual friend of Kevin and I. And I, to see Britt, who's another friend of yours, perform in a musical that's about my friend Tiffany and Brady. And it's so crazy to me because, so my friend Brady is married to, we used to call her Tiffany Amber Thiessen. And someone's making a cute little funny musical about it. And Britt is part of that. And it's like the weirdest thing how all the worlds collide. And so I think if you just show up as yourself and trust that the people that are meant for you will show up for you, they will. And that's what I'll say around community, because I think for so long I was lonely because I was trying to be someone that I wasn't. And that wasn't trying to be inauthentic. It was just, I thought that's how life had to go. And it's not. I think if we just can spend some time knowing our inner selves, our inner hopes, our inner wants, that we then can offer our true selves to the world and be open for a little bit of adjustment on that. And so that is what I will say. I'm really excited for Crowded Table. I got to tell you, I love that, Kevin, you and I are each other's hype person. And I just love that we get to do this show together, because truthfully, all you guys are experiencing is what we do almost every day of the week, which is call the other one and be like, I'm so excited for you and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage everyone to find people like that for you. Find people who are jazzed about what you're doing, who aren't going to yell at you from a stage.
Yeah, you don't, unless you want to be yelled at, wink, wink. Like, you don't have to have that.
Ooh.
I kind of like that a little bit. Like, I like a little aggression, but that's just me. It's different. I'm different. A girl can be different.
Okay. I love it. Also,
we'll
get into that. I'm blushing. I mean, I get like being told like,
yes, Sarah. Listen, Valentine's. Why are we not doing something? Okay, next week will be our Valentine's episode. So we're going to talk about relationships and dating. And so send us your cues about that to ask your favorite aunts at jumail.coombs.com.
You're so weird.
YFA after dark.
YFA after dark. Ooh.
Okay, there's something. Yeah, we'll think about it. Well, maybe. Well, you know what it is. You know what YFA after dark is.
What?
We have to go on. We got to do a podcast tour eventually when we get on that level. Just like.
Oh, I love it.
Anyways. Okay. Any announcements? Anything you need to promote, share that you haven't already promoted or shared? Anything else?
Nope. I feel like I've done a lot of promoting, a lot of sharing. This has been fantastic. So good to be together with everyone.
Yes, I just want to continue to say, go buy my book. Bad Theology Kills. It's at badtheologykills.com. I have a whole bunch of them. You can get them for, I think I'm having them for 14 on my website. And then they're 17 or 19 on Amazon. So it's cheaper for me and I'll sign it. So, and if you would like to check out what I'm doing with the 2022 spring cohort, which is a 90-day journey with a bunch of other dope ass people who are going, we're going to learn about some meditation, spiritual practices to pretty much just like fix your life a little bit. If you're missing peace in your life, if you're looking to create spiritual practices, and if you're ready to get over the bullshit that you had to deal with your for a while, if you're ready to get free, this could be for you. You can go to thekevingarcia.com/cohort to learn more.
I am also opening up some more slots for coaching because I'm got some coaching clients that I am. So what does coaching mean? Coaching is just sort of like helping people. You might've heard of it like a life coach, but I just finished my, coaching certification through, ICF, which is
the gold standard of coaching.
They're great. They're great.
And so I have 100 hours before I take my written exam, but you could be part of those 100 hours, which means I'm a little bit cheaper than I.
Yeah. You want to get it on the ground floor. You want to get a great deal, a steals and deals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I am really excited about all the work that my clients are doing. If you're more interested in that, you can reach out to me, RevSarahHeath.com. Find me on Instagram or sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not even really.
We love you. We're proud of you.
Are you? Am I proud?
Yeah, I'm proud of them. Okay, I will say I love you and I'm proud of you. And I hope that you have a fantastic weekend. Go Super Bowl. We didn't talk about the Super Bowl at all.
I just want somebody to screen cap this look I'm giving right here. Like,
LA is in it, boy. I mean, I'm a Saints fan, but
I hope that they do so good. I hope. Also, like, who's playing in the Super Bowl halftime show? Don't care. You know why?
Oh, I do care. It's for me. It's for my
Eminem, right?
This halftime show. Hold on. You want me to tell you before you go?
I know Eminem is in it, and I just like at that point I'm disinterested.
Okay. Nope. Ready? It is. Oh, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Kendrick Lamar.
If they just took Marshall Mathers out of the equation, it would be the perfect show. Like everybody up there, I love. Like, I just hope maybe they'll just roast him. They'll spend the entire time just roasting him because, like, God, like,
why do you hate Eminem so much?
We don't have to get into it. I think he's a mediocre white dude. I think that is. Oh, I think his rapping is.
I love that he works at his mom's restaurant.
Because he's not doing really good in record sales. Just kidding. Okay, until next week, make sure that you stream RevCovery. Share this podcast with someone you love and have the courage to share it with somebody that you don't know, maybe. That's what Cody Rigsby says. Cody Rigsby, I want you to marry me if you're listening.
Okay. We indeed. Hope you have a great weekend.